This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Shanning and Noel. Now, 7:36 in the morning right now. It's Tuesday, the 4th of February, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Shanning, you speak with Alan Chia, CEO of GoCar Malaysia.
Yeah, well, GoCar is an on-demand car sharing platform that allows you to rent a car by the hour or the day via its app. So in other words, you can now rent a car of your choice. Well, not really, because they only have two brands, from whatever time you want, for however long you want, from a variety of locations. Now, they started in 2015 with just five cars. So today I'm going to find out how many cars they have in their fleet, how many locations, and also whether it's a really viable business model. And I'm going to be speaking to their CEO, Alan Chia, later after 8 o'clock news.
Fascinating stuff. So be sure to stay tuned after the 8 o'clock news bulletin for the Breakfast Grill. But right now we are looking at what's been happening over in the US, because the race for the Democratic and Republican voters to choose their preferred nominees for the White House race has kicked off in the Iowa caucus. Now, the voting is taking place as we speak, and while any victory will not guarantee a nomination, the results can give candidates crucial momentum. Now, for the Republican nominee, Donald Trump is a clear choice, but there are still 12 people running for the Democratic nomination. So you could say that Democratic voters are rather spoilt for choice.
Yeah, it's quite crowded on the Democratic side, and that will be probably their undoing. So in the top three polls generally put Joe Biden in the lead. Bernie Sanders comes second, followed closely with Elizabeth Warren. Bernie is, of course, one of the four senators running for president, but he has to stay behind in Washington to attend Mr. Trump's impeachment trial. Despite not physically not being physically there in Iowa, I think his supporters have been energetically campaigning on his behalf.
Meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg also remains strong in the polls, and Michael Bloomberg is, of course, slowly climbing up in popularity. I mean, and he's only one of the richest men in the world, but never mind. Other candidates include Andrew Yang, Amy Klobuchar, Tulsi Gabbard, and Tom Steyer. Some of these names I honestly have not heard, so I don't know whether, like you say, Noel, they are just confusing the voters, and I won't be surprised if more drop off over the course of the before what, by the middle of the year.
Yeah, so results from the Iowa caucuses are expected in a couple of hours. But before that, for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning Professor Robert Shapiro, Professor of Government at Columbia University. Thank you for joining us, Professor. So who do you think might win the caucuses, and what would that mean for the Democratic Party?
Well, the big question for the caucuses is whether Biden and Sanders will emerge as the two leaders, or whether any of the other candidates will surpass the 15% threshold for delegates and stay in the race. And it makes a big difference, because after tonight, if the race boils down to a two-candidate race, it could make it likely that the party will have a nominee by the first ballot at the convention. If the other candidates in the race are able to get 15% of the vote or more, that means the vote will be split. And if that occurs in successive primaries and caucuses, it means that the party will not have a candidate. So the big question is are Biden and Sanders really going to pull ahead and gain momentum going forward, or will there be other candidates in the race, or will there be any surprises?
Well, Iowa and New Hampshire traditionally come first in the primaries, and they're often closely watched because they could set the momentum for the rest of the election season. However, these two states are really not representative of the U.S. demographics in current times. So how does this lack of diversity in Iowa, I think I understand it's mainly a white population, how would it affect the eventual outcome of this election?
Well, from the standpoint of fairness and representativeness, that really poses an ethical problem for the country. Also, it hurts particular candidates. It really hurt Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Julian Castro as candidates, as members of minority groups. Those candidates, had not been in the race, and we're talking about just Biden and Sanders, had the state been more diverse, it would have helped those candidates more, because Biden has been getting greater support among African Americans, and Sanders of late has been making inroads among Latinos. So they would perhaps be doing better. But again, the whole field would be different, because there would be other candidates who would be still in the race.
And Professor, what's the most surprising thing you've seen so far in this run among these 12 diverse candidates?
Well, the two things that surprised me was one, Biden's staying power and is not making any further mistakes and gaps and so forth. But perhaps the big surprise is Bernie Sanders. Sanders had a heart attack, and he's been able to recover. He stayed in the race, and his supporters have rallied around him, and we'll see if they're sufficiently mobilized in these upcoming primaries and caucuses, and obviously especially tonight.
And so, Professor, what is the next thing for us to keep an eye out for coming out of this Iowa caucus?
Well, the thing that I would be mindful of, it has to do with the nature of the Democratic primary rules. And again, I mentioned this 15% threshold. If additional candidates beyond the top two were able to get 15% of the voter board, it means one candidate will not be able to have a majority of delegates by the time of the first ballot of the convention. And the superdelegates, the free agents who in the past have been able to vote for any candidate they wanted, though they're not able to vote until the second ballot. And so, you know, we could wind up with a kind of a deadlocked, contested first vote in the convention. And that's the one thing I'll watch. And the other thing is, on the other hand, is whether it'll be only a two-candidate race, in which case it becomes more likely that one candidate will get a majority of delegates.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Professor. And that was Professor Robert Shapiro, Professor of Government at Columbia University, with his thoughts on the Iowa caucus, whose results are out later on this morning. Now, what's notable about the Iowa caucus is that, you know, the 15% that Professor Robert mentioned is that if a delegate gets less than 15% of the vote, they also do run the risk that voters could decide to switch their vote from that delegate who got less than 15% to another delegate who perhaps gained a larger share of the voter majority. So that's one of the interesting kind of elements to this Iowa caucus that people will need to watch quite closely.
So the tally may not be the final tally then?
Is yes,
that
that's
the point?
Right.
Oh, wow. I mean, admittedly, the U.S. election system is the most confusing for me. There's caucuses, there's primaries, and then there's college vote?
Electoral college.
College vote.
Yes.
I, you know, it's baffling.
So what I know about this Iowa caucus is that it might have a 50% success rate of predicting which candidate will get nominated. But I understand in 2016, I think Ted Cruz had actually led over Trump. So, but you know, I think some points that Shapiro raised, he's surprised by Biden's staying power. Also Bernie Sanders, the fact that he also managed to stay in the race. And this is after, you know, having health challenges. And, you know, I have
his
to...
His age also.
Yes, I really have to... You know, salute him, right, for his tenacity.
Absolutely. So we'll be watching the Iowa caucus very closely because the final results will eventually prove who really has support and who doesn't. And we'll be bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. But right now we're heading into a few messages. And then up next, we'll be speaking with Tan Sri Mohamed Sharif Mohamed Kassim, founding member of the G25 and former Secretary General of the Finance Ministry, on the issue of approved permits. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.